No. All right. Three after one. Three, two, one. There we go.
Oh, sorry. I went before zero.
Jesus Christ. Who cares? Give up.
I really cannot clap anymore.
He's lost the ability.
Hello.
I'll never get it right at upsets.
since I'm the only one stepping up, I guess I'll do it again. Welcome.
Who did the intro last week?
Me. That's why I want
to. Oh, no. We need somebody
else,
then. That's, yeah. It's always the point to keep it someone different.
I didn't do it last week, Ross.
That's it. That's the whole intro. Let's get started.
Hey, guys. Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of the Official Podcast. I'm Jackson. There's Andrew. We've got Charlie. And we've got Kaya. This is the Official Podcast coming to you live through the power of the internet. It's live.
You sound like you're putting on the fakest smile.
I am. I'm smiling super hard at the moment.
He's happy, dude.
Yeah. It's not fake, actually. Why do you have to bring me down? Anyway, welcome to this
week. I didn't mean to wipe it off your face. Sorry. Jesus.
Welcome to this week's episode. We've got a lot of things to discuss, so I'll hand it on over to my my cohort, Charlie, who's super keen to tell you why you shouldn't smile.
Well, if you're anything like Andrew, just drink and you'll never smile. Andrew came over... a couple days ago, he drank a lot. That was fun. Why don't you tell him about it, Andrew?
Sure. Wait, did you drink a lot?
I drank as much as Charlie did. And we went to two different bars, and it was loud and hard to talk to people and crowded.
And we did that 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
But Andrew's leaving out.
Night I heard.
Yeah. Andrew's. Huh? I was just going to say, you're leaving out the best part, man, where you're spitting game.
Well, what the entire story, and I tweeted about this, is. Charlie thought a fun thing to do, not even a good way to, like, get me to talk to women, but just a fun, a little entertaining skirmish, was to go up to women and tell them I'm Markiplier. Now, first of all, this is after he confirmed that the women had no idea who Markiplier was. So, we're working with a loaded gun here. But the best one that he did was we went up to these two women, and he was like, oh, excuse me, ladies, my friend is Markiplier. He's famous on the internet and YouTube. I don't know if you've heard of him. And they were like, no. And he's like, well, he's really embarrassed that he's like a big YouTube internet sensation. I just wanted you guys to tell him that it's okay. You know, it's okay to have this job.
Christ.
Now, this is already a fucking Titanic of a move. Just sinking into the briny deep. So I'm at a loss. Now, the best part, though, to capitalize the cherry on this shit Sunday was I had already had some inebriation coursing through my veins. So one of the girls looked at me. And at that exact moment, I spilled a tiny bit of my drink. Just, I don't know, the wind currents picked up and knocked me off balance. So she caught that, and it was at that moment she cemented the fact that I was probably some, like, vagrant, sloppy fucking drunk, having some guy tell lies for him.
They could have just Googled Markiplier and seen someone completely different.
Andrew left out the part where I confirmed they didn't have cell phones as well.
No, you did them. If anything, you asked, do you guys have full signal? You could watch one of his videos now. Now, this was punctuated on the way to the bar with Charlie playing us auto-tune remixes of Markiplier videos.
Yeah, that was good.
So, for some reason, Markiplier, if you're listening to the podcast, Charlie was jonesing on you that night.
Oh, yeah. Everything was Markiplier.
It really was.
Yeah.
There's no exaggeration. There was a lot of Markiplier.
The weatherman said there's 100% chance of Markiplier fandom.
He went so in and went, hello!
You didn't have any success, Andrew?
So I didn't want
to go. No. No, not at all.
Oh, you'll find
your mic cut out.
It cut out?
Yeah, I didn't hear. What was Jackson's question?
Mine, I said, did you pick up? Did you score? Did you get lucky?
No. Oh, no. Yeah, Andrew did.
No, Andrew
he was
did.
Markiplier. Yeah, he was Markiplier for
Well, I got lucky at being Markiplier for 10 minutes. So
that's what it felt like.
I felt important. I felt like screaming at Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, is that why you started crying about Markiplier in the Discord?
No, I started crying about Markiplier because I found one of the autotune songs I actually like. It was catchy.
That was fun.
He's a talented man.
Now, Charlie, there's a more important thing we have to talk about, though. The high-flying stunt show of Rick and Morty, A Squatch in Time.
Oh, my lord. Yeah, you boys are in for a nice story. Kai, I know you're a big fan of talent shows and anime conventions and stuff, so this one's right up your alley.
Big time.
They had this thing called Rick and Morty, A Squatch in Time, which was supposed to be like this Cirque du Soleil, but for weeaboos. And it was a crossover of Rick and Morty, Naruto, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Ring, Miss Ladybug,
Voltron and Power Rangers.
Voltron and Power Rangers, right.
Yeah. And also, there was one other that we're missing that was worked in there. That was the who was the sidekick?
Suicide Squad.
Well, no, that was part of Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Or
no, that was
before. You're right.
They had Harley Quinn giving herself concussions on the
Well, we'll discuss in depth. But also, who was Ladybug's sidekick? Remember, there was a woman in black.
I don't know, Andrew. I haven't watched Nickelodeon in 50 years. That could be anybody.
God, whatever. All right, so let's start from the beginning, shall we? Because I remember shot for shot synopsis of this fucking show.
Oh, it's great.
Well, go ahead. Why don't you start?
No. We shouldn't dominate the whole podcast with just our hijinks while you were here. Just long story short, it was supposed to be a talent show, but it was more of like a lack of talent show, except for like two people. And it was fucking great.
Let me put it
fucking
this way.
Great.
Do you enjoy writing for a show that completely misses both the style of the show and the characters? Mm-hmm. So imagine like if someone was like, I made this fan tribute to Archer. But everyone in Archer had high school tier humor, and none of the snappy dialogue and all of the situations and feel of it was nothing like the show.
I would be displeased.
Yes, that was the writing of this entire series.
Well, you say that, but you're leaving out the stunts. Like Gaara, when he was fighting Rock Lee to get the Infinity Stones, the choreography more than made up for the lackluster
What
writing.
Is this anyway, a theater show? A online
The Shinobi School presented a stunt and something show.
Mm-hmm.
The keyword like something.
People
in costumes.
Live. There was a lot of danger there. Someone
and,
could have hurt themselves.
The people doing their parts, just, they were so off. Just so off. The guy, I don't mean to be, okay, so let me back this
really
up.
I feel really bad saying
Yeah. Let me back this up. Everyone tried. There was effort. It wasn't like a just like, half-assed, like, not giving a shit kind of thing. They tried. They really did.
It's respectable.
I give them props, and honestly, it was cool that they even had something to do. But in terms of actual quality, there was a lot lacking.
There was room for improvement.
So, Rick and Morty are the hosts of the show. They're like they're the frame network to go to these different worlds, because Rick is trying to build
a portal.
Quantum Fuckulator or something, and he's like, we gotta go to these different anime worlds and steal the shit. And so, but the problem with that is that the guy playing Rick did not get how to play Rick, and the guy playing Morty sounded nothing like Morty and was also super ripped, so it was really awkward.
Oh, super ripped. Now you're just sucking on his winky. He was not super ripped.
He was in shape.
He was in shape, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He did not look like a bumbly little middle schooler. He had, like, muscles. It was
so
off-putting. He was also taller than Rick. It was very weird.
Maybe they should have swapped.
But yeah, the jokes were typical. Oh, we didn't mention the best part. It had a surprise appearance from Filthy Frank.
Oh yeah, Filthy Frank came out of nowhere in there.
Wait, was the real one or an
imitation? So there's a plot in the, and I don't mean to spoil it. I know you guys are on the edge of your seats from this plot, but during the climactic moment, Rick assembles his Fuckatron or whatever, the thing that he needs, and he's like, I'm going to push the button. And some of the characters are like, don't push the button. It's bad. And he's like, what's the worst that could happen? Literally, he says that. And then the pink suit man from Filthy Frank comes out and starts screaming at the cast.
Man, they love that.
It
one.
Was
Let me
so
tell you what.
Funny. Yeah, the audience, half the audience
the
got
audience
visibly
reception?
Upset when that. Well, okay,
the
so
whole thing.
They were happy and laughing and giggling at stuff. And it was mostly like polite silence coupled with the occasional chuckle for people who go, I got that reference. Ha ha ha, anime. But when the Filthy Frank guy came out, half the audience laughed and the other half sounded genuinely visibly upset.
Ugh.
Like they groaned and actually said naughty things. Such as fuck that.
How did you even know it was an imitator?
I knew.
You can.
I keep up with the lore of Filthy Frank Kaya.
If you've seen a like 24 kilobyte JPEG of the costume, you would have recognized it immediately.
Yeah, you would have also understood it, Kaya, trust me.
Yeah. It was... are there any other highlights, Charlie, so we don't dominate the whole podcast with it? Because there were a lot of things. But
there's a lot of good things in there.
Oh, the other one I want to bring up is they cut to the Guardians of the Galaxy part, and this woman starts doing this like pole dancing routine, and it was okay. And then she's dressed in full white and has like platinum blonde hair. And then an announcer comes out of nowhere and says, "Let's give it up for Harley Quinn." And A, it looked nothing like Harley Quinn. And B, we thought like the show had fallen apart or they had to rush it for time or something, because it didn't. It felt like some dude was just telling them to wrap it up over the intercom. It was very astounding.
So, but this was at Comic-Con, right?
Yes, San Diego Comic-Con.
MetroCon is what it was called.
But you also went to Comic-Con.
I did, yeah.
Charlie, well, which one was the better one? MetroCon or Comic-Con?
Comic-Con, only because the Awoki Woki Wow Wow Banana Guy. I love this performance.
Did Comic-Con have an arcade? Because MetroCon had a couple of consoles in a back room.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Comic-Con had something called Gamers on the Edge.
Oh, God. So MetroCon had these advertisements for their arcade as being like a cool hip happening place. It was like 10 CRTs with old school consoles and a single DDR machine. And that was it. That was the entire setup.
Yeah, we'll move on though. But one other important lesson I learned at these Comic Cons and Metro Cons is I'm going to need to get in better shape if I want to compete with some of these cosplayers. Luckily, I found BeachbodyOnDemand.com. One-stop shop for fitness. You get all types of different workouts from the comfort of your own home. You can be cosplaying while doing it, jerking off while doing it, whatever you want to do, but it doesn't just stop at workouts. No. It offers nutritional advice as well. Tell them about it, Jackson.
Nutritional advice?
Andrew, too.
Oh, sorry, I wanted to talk about nutrition because it's very near and dear to my heart. I wanted to share my story.
You're anorexic.
Jeez, thanks.
Has Beachbody On Demand helped you overcome that hurdle and eat healthier while working out at the comfort of your own home?
I got a Beachbody On Demand.
See, Jackson, you're moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you had been signed up for some, you know, old-timey traditional class in the real world, you probably would have to give up your classes. You can't take your, whatever they're called, your senpai with you. What are the instructors called?
Your senpai.
Senseis. Bushido, man. They're...
I just find that funny. I think it literally translates to upperclassmen.
All right, you weirdo. Well, Jesus.
So Beachbody no desu.
My Japanese.
Yeah, no, I found that
thanks
giggle
to Beachbody on demand,
nerd.
Jackson can just continue his classes at his new place.
Yeah, exactly. That's the beauty of the platform is you take it with you.
Can I give
just
you
like
guys
Christian
some numbers?
Bale in American Psycho. I love numbers.
There's honestly a lot of numbers on this copy, and I always love stats because those impress me more than anything else. Beachbody on Demand has a flexible design workout schedule with over, get ready for the numbers. Everyone ready for the number? Over 600 different workouts. That is a lot.
That is
and
a
also,
shit ton
actually
of
a lot.
Also, after you're done picking out like your tricep sit-ups and your quadricep pushes and whatever, honestly, 600
tricep
workouts.
Tricep sit-ups?
Whatever work, there are over 600 workouts, Kai. You're going to find something there that you like. But when you're done doing that, you'll also pick out what delicious foods.
Or something that exists, I guess, yeah.
You'll pick out whatever delicious foods you'll use to replenish those fine, happy muscles that you'll be working out. Because they also have over 100 recipe videos where you can learn to cook and prep meals. You can even have vegan-friendly options. And, you know, actually, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I have a lot of friends who are vegan, and their number one complaint is I can never find good things to eat or places to go to eat or things that can help me figure out what to eat because they eat the same things all the time because they're vegan. But hey, we've got some options here with Beachbody On Demand. Check them out.
And as we all know, vegans are usually all the panty-waist limperists in your friend circle, so you can, you know, turn them to Beachbody On Demand so they can put on some muscle.
I thought you that was go going to... a much darker place.
No, what?
Who hurt you?
I don't know. What?
Yeah.
As we all know, vegans are big, stupid, selfish idiots with no friends.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to sell them stuff. Hang on. You take your phone. You probably have your phone in your hand right now. Maybe you're listening to this podcast on your phone. You open your messaging app and you type official at 303030.
Yeah. So go find out. Why over 1 million people have signed up for Beachbody On Demand.
We live in a digital age.
You can get full access to the platform for free.
We live in a digital age where so many people just use their smartphones. They don't even own, they just own like a tablet instead of a home computer. You don't even need a fucking internet browser anymore. You text.
That's not true at all. I couldn't live without my Microsoft Internet Edge Explorer.
Well, please don't put ads for other things in this fucking advertisement, Charlie.
Well, Charlie, can you type in official and send it to 303030?
That's not a text message, dummy.
Yes, it is, you
Internet
idiot!
Explorer. You can't type anything in Internet Explorer either, Kai. It reads your mind.
Yeah. You said ads.
So anyway, text to 303030. All right, then let's transition into the fucking questions. God.
But first, here's more about Beachbody On Demand.
Does Andrew's wholesome laugh again?
Yeah, I love it.
Andrew got a big old hoot.
Oh, that hit me in my funny bone. Okay, I should probably pick out a question.
All right, well, so
I need to open these.
Oh, Jesus. Raymond Luxury Yacht asks, as successful as the podcast has been, do you ever feel like you're wasting your time with, in quotation marks, content creation rather than pursuing a career? Do you worry that being a YouTube personality won't pay the bills a decade or two down the line, or do you think this type of media, and in parentheses it's got YouTube or podcast, has real staying power? Love you guys, keep it real.
Well, thanks for the existential crisis, that's a real hoot.
It's just, it's like any kind of entertainment business, really. There's no real, like, guarantee that you're going to be in the business forever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know
there's no guarantee on anything.
I mean, I know for sure I'd want to use it as a stepping stone into.
Oh, well, fuck you. Things. Is that all we are to you?
Yeah, we're just
after
stepping
many,
stones
many,
to Andrew.
Many years, and I would still do this stuff, but I'd want to transition into. Like, I want to make movies.
Oh, you think you can lend your time to us again in the future, Andrew, once you've hit it big?
Guys, I'll record the podcast, no problem. Oh, hang on 1 second. Oh, Mr. Spielberg? Let me reschedule.
I know, I'm with Andrew.
Oh. I mean, I just want to make movies, and my content has, for a very long time, just been dumb ideas for jokes or something I've had, so I kind of want to realize that on a broader scale.
Well, I'm with the
podcast
forever.
I just
want
to expand
forever.
In general.
This is
I don't
my
just
endgame.
Want this to be podcast, period.
No, well, that
this
too.
This is my endgame. So, yeah. Podcast only.
Well, I would love for this to grow into content group like Rooster Teeth or Funhouse or any of those where we do, like, skits and videos and short films and the podcast and the whatever as well. But I also, at the same time, want to, like, be like, hey, I made this movie, or hey, I did this.
Imagine if, like, a big director like Neil Blomkamp has a YouTube channel of just dumbass shit.
Oh, what
I like that thought.
Well, that's an interesting thought I've been having lately. Think in the future we're going to have politicians who have, like, Minecraft Let's Plays on YouTube.
Oh, hell yeah.
Did you choose Neil Blomkamp as an example then because you know that he's actually got a YouTube channel, or was that just random?
Well, no. I just like Neil Blomkamp's work. I just meant, like...
He's got a YouTube channel.
I know. He just made it, though. Well, but good stuff, not like Minecraft.
True. Yeah.
But I'm saying, though, that's an actual thing that's easily going to happen. Think, like, Senator Stevenson in the future was originally a 22-year-old guy who played Minecraft on YouTube and screamed
in the future.
In
that's happening now. You have people in the gaming
but I mean, at a much broader
for office.
At a much broader scale, I mean. Like, it's going to be accepted. It's not going to be like a weird, oh, look at this thing you do. It's actually going to be a normal... Hey, okay, he does that kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a problem where they just... I hate these types of people who trawl through your history on social media. Like, as much as... Like, this is not a commentary on any politician, but people go through, like, politicians' 8-year-old tweets. Like, look at that, he's a hypocrite! He used to say this! Yeah, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have, like, people... Whatever, in the 20 years in the future, are gonna be like, oh, this guy used to play... whatever, this video game, and say these outrageous things. He used to yell fuck and the N-word, and somehow that's gonna keep him out of office as though that matters.
Yeah, so long ago, he did it last week.
He's doing it now, sir.
So to answer your question, right. We all want to be politicians.
I think the good broad answer for that is we want this to get much bigger, but we also want to...
Expand.
Exactly, expand on
own dreams. Want this to be Hydra, just tentacles and everything.
The podcast was never our end goal. It was more of a beginning step into...
Yeah, it's a stepping stone.
I was like, I hope one day we can move past YouTube.
Yeah.
No, I want to
expand into, like, the big world.
Twitch
There's
streaming.
No end game until we've conquered the worlds. And
or the big internets, just in general.
I mean, I know that all of us have talked about it. Like, Charlie, I know you want to make your hard turbo show.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah.
Jackson, you want to be like a whole studio Rooster Teeth thing? That would, they have celebrities and do stuff and like short films. I want to direct movies. And Kaya, you want to do a whole sort of load of
stuff. Kaya wants to leave a country.
That too.
He wants to
dedicate his life to the prosperity of his amazing country and its people.
Okay.
Can we cut that? That was a bit much, yeah. Definitely take that out. He loves it.
He wants to get, replace it with a terrible dub of, he wants to give it a big kiss.
He wants to get swifty.
Yeah, the reference to the Vicky and Ricky show.
Just edit in Microsoft, Sam.
Saying, I love Turkey.
He wants to make the country better. And then, yeah.
All right, we can move on from that question.
Yeah. Who's up next?
It's me for Jack Order. And someone asked me, what is your least favorite thing about the podcast? And I know earlier we talked about, like, time and scheduling, but I'm saying, what do we not like about actually recording a podcast?
Well, actually recording a podcast at 4 a.m. We answered this.
Oh, okay. I
like everything apart from that, basically, like the commitment. The commitment's a weird word. I mean, like, the obligation to drop whatever I'm doing or wake up, I guess.
All right, I'll do a different question because I kind of forgot.
We have genuinely answered that question, though.
I'll do a different one. Okay, any big projects you'd like to realize in the near future? Hey, now we can expand on the last question.
Oh, great.
No. Okay, real question time. Here we go. Here we fucking go. Okay, here we go. How does it feel knowing that you make a living talking about wieners and burgers?
Not good, man.
We don't really talk about wieners that much now.
Well, I can expand that into a question. How do you guys feel about the content we make sometimes, where we are definitely a very vulgar and uncensored type
of shit? I'm fine with it entirely, except for the thing that I just mentioned is people... I do know that at some point people... We are going to get shit for this because some idiot is going to take this seriously and lord it over us sometime from now.
Who gives a shit?
Everyone, Jackson, the real world doesn't work like the internet. You can't just go on, like all, you have all of these little kids, right, these days, all of the teenagers and young adults who are, like, on Twitter, you know, the alt-right and those types are, like, tweeting the N-word and shit. Dude, you're unemployable.
Yeah.
That shit is gonna come back and bite you in the ass, and I'm just scared that's gonna happen to us one day, even though we legitimately do not talk about anything that is evil or bad. Like, objectively, we do not condone any sort of illegal activity or bad stuff, but I feel like it's gonna be bad for us solely because we even use the F word, right? Something like that.
Yeah,
that's my biggest fear.
That is a legitimate concern. Everything is offensive these days, and people would go through a bunch of things and find something to be upset about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, this podcast is our face tattoos.
Yeah.
Wow, that was pretty deep.
And scary.
I mean, the way that I rationalize it, because I tend to be, I think I've had a history of saying some really radical shit on this fucking podcast.
Tubular, yeah.
Groundbreaking.
It's going to be relevant to the people who want to make it relevant in that context. Like, if you go looking for a job and your boss goes, I can't hire you. You tweeted that you hate liberals 2 years ago. Then, I mean, do you really want to work for that kind of person who... believes that,
I mean,
that
someone
hits
you don't,
your character.
You don't have
hard.
The choice sometimes, though. That's the problem is when you're... I mean, it's not even this... What we do is the mildest form, yet even stuff that's milder than ours is now treated as absolute heresy. I'm sure you guys have heard of the Google memo, where some guy just wrote his opinions and he started a witch hunt at Google against him. Literally everyone who works at Google now hates the guy's guts. I mean, this is the sort of stuff I'm scared of, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I also think there's a separation of professional and personal life that you can do a little maintenance on. Like, I personally don't have a Facebook because I know that's one of the first things they'll try to look for when you're an employee.
The government.
Well, no, seriously, your employer, Jackson,
guaranteed.
Yeah, no,
they go through every social media. Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. And the fact is that Facebook, I know, is the very easy one because that's like your real name and all this info and stuff. And I feel even if I kept it completely squeaky clean, I wouldn't even want the burden of having it.
Yeah, it's not just Facebook anymore. It just, you'll be tracked down anywhere, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Anonymity is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and people are the ones killing it. People are begging for a lack of anonymity. Jesus,
oh, yeah.
I butchered that word.
It's a hard word to fucking say, anonymity.
Yeah.
It's got two N's? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, shit gets intense.
That's why they're showing it to Anon.
That's the saddest part, though, is that people are begging to be censored, and they want, like, they want people to report each other and, you know, spread the word that this is a bad person, even if you've never met him and shit like that.
It just, Charlie, yeah. did you see the whole memo drama?
No, I don't know what that means.
Okay, so, I mean, since it relates, I'll just go ahead and tell it. Some guy at Google who works at Google in the engineering department, he wrote a little, not an article, but like an essay type thing, and he circulated it in the company mail. And everybody started hating the guy because he basically said, hey, you know, we shouldn't discriminate against people based on their skin color and this sort of stuff, you know, the diversity programs, which are basically just, hey, let's hire a bunch of black people and women just because they are black and women. And he laid out the whole flaw in this system, and he nicely apparently researched the whole stuff with his, you know, he has links and sources and charts. And now they started a whole witch hunt against the guy, with people saying they're gonna quit their jobs at Google if he doesn't get fired or somehow punished by HR. And there's Google employees tweeting shit like, oh, I really wanted to get up and punch him in the face after I read it. And the only thing he even wrote was, we should have more ideological diversity at Google. We're becoming an echo chamber.
I mean, Kaya, this...
yeah.
The sad fact is that people are even going to be offended for you even just bringing this up.
It's not... I know, but... I'm hoping we can be a little better than fucking Google.
And now Google will never hire us.
It's just the landscape of the internet. Everyone has to be upset for someone else.
Yeah.
Google is just... This is what I don't get about the whole, you know... When was it now, the net neutrality day, where everyone was creaming their pants and having a freak out hissy fit about it?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, they cry about this boogeyman, which is still a good cause and all, but blah, blah, blah. But, you know, most of it is unwarranted. And especially I hated the language of, if you're not freaking out right now, you don't know what's going on. Yeah, or maybe you can be calm about it, right? But nobody seems to be the least concerned about Google being the most powerful force on the internet, and they get to decide what you read and see. When I Google something, they decide if I'm allowed to read a certain website or link. And this is sick shit. Charlie, did you read the new rules that Google has now? YouTube has now?
Yeah, I did.
Wait, what new rules?
They brought in the Anti-Defamation League, and for those who don't know, the Anti-Defamation League are the same guys who declared that Pepe the green cartoon frog is a hate
a
symbol.
Yeah, terrorism.
It's a hate symbol. This is not a joke. You might think I'm joking, but they declared
not
that Pepe
joke,
the frog is a hate symbol on par with the swastika.
Oh,
right?
Jesus Christ.
And they are now in charge of what they called the, I don't know, Charlie, what did they call the heroic flagging system? Something
no.
like, I'm
it
not
was
kidding you.
Really, it was something really comically bad, though. It was,
it
like,
was yeah, no, it sounded like the Ministry of Truth. It was Orwellian. It was something, the flagging something, like the flagging heroes system cartel. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're doing that
the
now.
The organized heroes of Ultra Lords.
Something, yeah. But what really, really scared me and just pissed me off that people don't know, that people don't seem to care about all that much as they care about other shit like net neutrality, is the website where they were listing their new rules also had a segment that said, our early prevention system is going to take certain search results we deem offensive and redirect users to different pages debunking those ideas. This used to be called fucking manipulation. This is the dictionary definition of manipulation. You're telling me that who gets to decide what is extreme or offensive? Now you're telling me that if I Google something that you don't like, you're gonna show me videos that disagree with the stuff I was looking up. And this is just scary, because there's no way of avoiding Google. It's grown beyond control at this point. I mean,
it's
just
smart.
Don't use Google is not a viable
it's
option
not,
anymore,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
There's nothing you can really do, and no one
what
really
are you
seems
gonna
to care.
Do you fucking use DuckDuckGo? Nobody uses DuckDuckGo.
The fuck is DuckDuckGo?
Yeah, I've never even heard
exactly.
of that.
Exactly.
Just give up DuckDuckGo, it's already over for you.
Yeah, why would you choose that name?
Yeah, you dug your own grave with that one. I don't even feel bad.
There you go. This is scary to me. Like, this is not... With net neutrality, people always think... Let me debunk this for a second. You're right. It's a scary thing and you should fight against it, but the cost isn't gonna be you. Like, you're not gonna be the target of the companies if net neutrality gets revoked, right? They're gonna fuck the companies. This is why all of the big companies are against it. And I know this because that's what they have been doing. Riot Games, the guys who make League of Legends, they had a little lawsuit with either AT&T or Verizon, I think, because their servers were being throttled. And they were basically blackmailing Riot Games for money or taxes or something. Same with Netflix. Netflix had a lawsuit with either Verizon or AT&T.
But who do you think the companies are going to take it out on?
No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is they don't have to take it out on you. It's automatically happening, but they don't care about you is what I'm trying to say. Mm. They don't have your best interest at heart when Facebook changes their logo to a blacked out Facebook logo and says, "We fight for net neutrality." Or Reddit does that. "We fight for net neutrality." Yeah, the same fucking company that hands over your data to literally everyone who's willing to pay for it. The same cunts acting like they're fighting for your freedom. They're not. They have their own bottom line at heart. Right? That, which is, you know, again, it's not something that'll easily happen, but the Google thing, it already is. It's happening. They are manipulating the way you use the internet, what you're allowed to read and see, and it's scary. And nobody is doing anything about it. Nobody can do anything about it, and most people don't even seem aware of it.
I agree. So to answer the initial question, I'm most excited for the new Ninjago movie.
That wasn't the initial question.
Well, thank you for calling me out on that, Andrew.
You must be pretty excited about it, though.
Charlie, you tuned out what Kai was saying, didn't you?
No, I really didn't. No one's going to give a shit.
Yeah.
Only us.
No, I know.
And there's nothing anyone can really do about it.
To actually answer the initial question, I think we can just kind of...
What? Sorry, I think people might care. We have an audience that I feel like would care.
Oh, I mean the audience, watch, yeah. I'm just talking about people in general.
Yeah. The general people...
I'm absolutely... I think it's completely hopeless.
To tie this all back around so we can move to a different question, I think we just have to handle all this as it comes. Everything from the type of content we make to how it affects our lives to the censorship to everything. I mean, like, there's nothing we can really do. We're not that influential or powerful to actually have pull, in a way. So
we're not powerful at all.
It has consequences for us, which is the scary thing, because...
Yeah.
To go back to my very first point, most people, for some reason, they don't like... Not most, but some people forget that this is a comedy, and we are not like this in real life, like 24/7. We don't go around, I don't know, talking
about... Yeah, we're not funny in real life.
Jizzing on posters. I don't know. That's a scary part. But yeah, we're not funny in real life.
Taking it as it happens. That's all there is. Charlie, you're up.
So what question did I pick out? My computer put itself to sleep.
Ah, your new one or your old one?
This laptop.
Oh!
I'm actively playing RuneScape on this one.
Oh, God.
But I picked out a question, and it's from Ross. Not Ross O'Donovan, I don't imagine, but from a guy named Ross. He says, "Do any of you guys have any special rituals prior to sex?"
This is controversial, but I usually like to get an erection.
Ooh, that's... Google doesn't have it here first.
I think it's illegal in most countries, but there you go.
Yeah, that's going... Wow.
Charlie, do you have one? Because it sounded like you had one.
Not really. My old ritual used to be I would... when I take out... Well, yeah, I used to call them right before to make sure it's okay, of course. In the eyes of God, too, I'd say a little prayer. But
a little jingle.
For real, I would take out my condom, and then I'd push it both ways and make kind of like a little accordion thing just to make sure I knew for a fact which way it went on.
Poking holes in it.
That's pretty good.
That was my little ritual.
I don't really have anything to answer for that.
No interesting rituals.
Usually I go empty my bowel first so I don't accidentally shit myself during the act of coitus.
Oh, I guess that ties in. I try to take a piss beforehand.
Oh, yeah. Well, just being safe.
I leave all that stuff in there. I leave piss in there, not shit there.
Well, I mean, I've had a couple of times where if it goes long enough, it's like, oh, I suddenly have to piss, and it just...
Well, then you just let go inside them.
Of course, mm-hmm. It's
that's
in storage.
Their problem, then.
It's yours now. And then you look down and you ruined your condom, and you go, oh, never mind.
I'm sorry, damn it.
It's still mine.
I fucked up. My dick is swimming.
Then you just leave the condom in there.
Yeah, I guess you can just go ahead and pour the condom in.
Yeah.
Like a smoothie.
Well, you consume it to get the electrolytes.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely consume it for the electrolytes. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, don't waste electrolytes.
Exactly, it's what plants crave. Kaya, you're up.
Don't even use condoms, just use a snake like Bear Grylls. You guys remember that episode? That was the most metal shit I've ever seen.
Wait, why
on
did
TV.
He need to
where
fuck
he drank out
up?
Of the snake?
Yeah, yeah, right.
What survival technique was that?
Survival
Detroit.
You guys
know the episode. Well, you guys know that he's notorious for drinking his piss, right?
Oh, yeah.
Faking
yeah.
The show.
In one episode, he was in the desert and he comes across a snake and he goes, "All right, there's my new water flask." He catches the snake, kills it, skins it, takes the skin, makes a hose out of it, ties off the end, pisses into it, and that's his new water flask.
I still think the most metal thing he did was eating raw and live
poor
fish.
Snake.
Oh, well, that too. Yeah. But
and its
I don't
guts
know, just
fucking popped out.
The way that he's just such a fucking disgusting predator in the wild.
Yeah.
Every animal is just the next kitchen appliance to him. Yeah. It was cool.
I'm getting laid, so I'm going to need my beaver teeth condom.
How does he appropriate himself back into like normal life once he gets back from the wild?
He fakes the show, that's how.
I have no idea. How does his wife kiss him after he's done like drinking wolf blood and eating larvas?
If anything,
she'd
gets
have to
moist.
Be alright with it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd get fucking...
It's like primal. She knows that he can protect her.
Yeah.
Well, he can do more than protect her.
He can make a fucking tent out of her
that's
skin.
That's not my point, because she likes... Of course she likes a fucking alpha guy, but, like, I assume she at least makes him brush his teeth, like, for a whole week before they even kiss.
All right, Barry.
I'm out of toothpaste.
Brush your teeth tonight.
I'm out of toothpaste, but luckily my wife is menstruating tonight.
Get away from the dog. Kids will never forgive you.
Just kills a dog.
Dog bones contain 18% potassium, which is good for brushing teeth.
Is his name actually Bear?
I
think so.
I think
I wouldn't. I wouldn't think so. But if it was, that's fucking amazing that his parents had the foresight to name him that.
Yeah,
I think he kind of became his name.
It's like
he later on.
Yeah, he earned it.
He later on was being called out, though. I don't know how much truth there is to those.
Yeah, the
claims.
Cameraman did everything. Apparently,
no, it's a very fake show.
Not that the cameraman did everything, but that
his
after
name is
done
Edward
shooting,
Michael.
They would just shut down the cameras and he'd go to an hotel or something. The cameramen are actually, I'm always far more impressed by them, because not only are they doing the exact same thing that the main character is, like,
well, they're not drinking piss.
Yeah, they didn't come into
snake
mouths. Well,
what I mean is they're still traversing the same terrain, like, climbing the same walls and trees and shit, but they also have, like, what I assume is 50 pounds of camera gear on them. So they must be just as, I don't know, as much of a badass as him.
Yeah, I mean, they have the hard job. He has the glitz and glamour, and they have the... Yeah. I mean, that's... I always feel bad for production hands and bigger stuff. It's like, I don't know, like, just a random example. You play Metal Gear, and it's like, Hideo Kojima game! Hideo did this! And it's like, what about all the programmers and art directors and mocap artists?
Fucking sucking your own dick for 1 second, Hideo.
Yeah, really. That's the whole debate with the classic cliche debate of Steve Jobs and all.
Exactly.
Did you guys know Steve Jobs died because he was a fucking moron?
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I had no idea.
He died because
he was
a Mormon.
Never knew that.
He was like, I need to make
moron.
A new MacBook out of this leopard skin.
Jackson, do you know?
What are you saying?
So, you know he got cancer, right?
Well, yeah, God smited him.
Apparently
yeah, what a moron.
Apparently he thought he could cure the cancer by drinking water and vegetable juice and all that shit. And he refused treatment until it was too late.
And then, no, but he's an even bigger douchebag because right before he knew it was too late, like, he knew he was already fucked, but he kicked, like, 10 people off the waiting list for some experimental surgery, did it himself, and still died, and those people, I don't think, ever got to do the surgery.
He's also a bigger douchebag because he expressed before he died that he completely regretted all that shit and was a complete dumbass and knew that he fucked up.
Okay, well, did he apologize to the people who he fucked over?
No. He didn't. He wasn't like, I'm sorry I did this. He was like, oh man, if I had gotten actual human treatment, I would have lived. Like, he realized that he was being a fucking dumbass.
Good. I'm happy.
Yeah. We miss you, Steve.
I like
every day.
That he died in regret.
The point
Steve
is, fuck
Jobs,
Steve
if you're
Jobs.
Listening, yeah, come on here and tell us your side.
And then rot in purgatory, you shithead.
You think he's in purgatory?
Well, he's probably waiting. They're really busy. A lot of people die, Jackson.
Gotta take a ticket.
Yeah, he's got a number.
No.
Alright, Kaya, you're up for a question.
I have no idea. Cannot really find any.
Oh, that's good.
Jackson, you're up for a question.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus, fucking Kaya.
Speaking of under the bus, would you ever sleep under a bus?
No, but I'd sleep under Brooklyn and...
Oh, I was going to say,
you fucking took it.
Brooklyn and sheets under
I get the
bus.
Point for that one, Brooklyn and you owe me.
You do. Jackson gets the point. And to get our point across, we are graciously sponsored by the people of Brooklinen.com, which was founded in April 2014 by husband and wife team Vicky and Rich. You might recognize them from the Rick and Vicky show premiering on Adult Swim. So Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. That's just a goddamn fact. It's just written here plain as day. I don't need to say any more to exemplify that point. But
are they comfy?
Well, they are of course comfy. Kaya, they're luxury bedding that's underpriced. Of course they're going to be comfy. And affordable.
But see, I've never had luxury bedding. I usually just sleep on this tarp I found at the local homeless shelter. Charlie, can you tell me about how comfy it is? I just want to vicariously feel good.
Yeah, it's like sleeping on a marijuana smoke cloud of comfortableness.
Oh, damn, that sounds dank.
It's the dankiest of dabs.
Ooh,
that sounds pretty comfortable.
You don't,
so tell you what.
You don't understand. You really don't understand how much like comfortable bedding can have an impact on your like life. You don't understand the difference between good bedding and bad bedding. But Jesus Christ, good bedding makes a difference.
And luckily now you have an easy and affordable way to get comfortable bedding.
Oh, yeah, you do.
Thanks to Brooklinen. Charlie, would you say, and I quote, as someone who used Brooklinen for, I think you've had it, 2 weeks now? That you
somewhere
love
in that ballpark.
That you love your Brooklinen sheets, and if you try them, then we'll know that you love them too?
What the fuck does that mean? If I try them, you'll know I love them too?
Really fucked that up.
Wow. All right, so to sum it all up. They're good sheets, yes. They're great sheets. Now Andrew knows that I love them too.
Yes, great. Whatever. Well, that's fantastic. Now that I know that you love them as well, Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer for our listeners. That means every one of you who isn't already sleeping on Brooklinens or wants more Brooklinens, you can get $20 off and free shipping. So that's a lot of money saved when you use the promo code official at Brooklinen.com. That's right.
Code official. Lizards not included. But if you have one of those disgusting yellow tinted bed sheets right now because you're not changing them enough, it might be too late. Just get Brooklinens. They're sparkly clean. And then call your girlfriend or your boyfriend.
Christen them.
Show
call them both.
Point at the bed and go, hey,
look, it's
wanna,
not yellow anymore.
Want to break it in?
I changed the sheets.
I finally used that promo code. And the cool thing about sleeping, folks, is that most people sleep their entire lives. At some point or another.
Like Steve Jobs.
Which means that the 60... which means that the 60-night satisfaction guarantee and lifetime warranty on these sheets are probably going to come in handy if you ever need them. But you won't, because Brooklinen.
I thought you were going to go all philosophical like most people are asleep.
What I'm trying
lives.
To say is that just in case something happens, just in case you've got a 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty... But we know that Brooklinen quality comfy sheets, you're not going to need that garbage. You're not going to need it.
But you still have it, well, just in case.
You have it, just in case.
But you won't need it.
I think you're really saying we're in the Matrix, Morpheus.
Brooklinen.com/official.
Yeah. Did you guys know that? We were just talking about Steve Jobs, so I got a little curious and I looked it up.
Yeah, I wonder if he died in Brooklinen, yeah.
No,
I
no,
asked
no.
myself that too, Charlie.
No, it actually turns out he was buried in Brooklinen.
Jeez.
Like, wow. Okay, like, that makes sense because they must have known.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how you get into heaven, and only that way.
Some people say that at his funeral, his little baby boy son reached over and it saw his pale, gaunt, and non-eating, I don't know, homeopathic face. He said, "Dad,
what?
Dad." And Steve Jobs said, "Yeah." And he said, "Hey, where did you get these comfy sheets?" And with his dying fucking breath, as the air escaped his corpse, he said, patreon.com/official.
Oh, we're still in the ad read.
It's not slash official, it's the promo code official.
Oh, check out. You're right.
Oh,
you're even right. When Steve Jobs was dying, he was still lying to his own son.
As he was dying, his children and grandchildren were just waiting on his every breath, not for his will or testament, but to see if he would bleed on the sheets and if they could still take them home. You can.
For real though, those sheets are fucking amazing.
They really
They're
are.
Washable, they are amazing.
So I like
can
that.
Bury your, what?
Everyone counting it down, please don't get any blood on the sheets. Come on, just pass over.
Speaking of amazing sheets, I pulled a good question from here if you guys can't find one.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing that has come from the podcast, and more specifically, something you didn't expect to happen?
We answered that one.
Making friends.
We talked about
that. Oh my god,
oh,
edit that
can
out!
Can we just talk about it again? Just...
Come no, on,
no, the,
edit
the whole
out.
Episode is supposed to be new questions.
Yeah,
why would
yeah,
we
nobody likes
the same
reruns.
Question?
Genuinely just edit that the fuck out.
No, leave it in.
Oh god.
People like us being genuine. I don't like editing.
Okay, fine. Here's a better one. Have you watched a TV show or movie that changed your life or something to that degree?
Oh, that's an interesting one.
I think that's a good question.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's a really hard one, actually.
It is a different
one.
You don't really associate things with changing your life. Well, at least I don't. I think it's all me.
I don't have like life revelations from these, but I definitely have different perspectives in terms of either directing or artistic merit. I recently, and I should have watched it a lot earlier, but I recently saw Old Boy for the first time, and it has given me a brand new standard.
Oh, that is such a good movie.
It has given me an entirely new standard to judge dramas and thrillers by, because I think it's a perfect film from start to finish. It's so well done. But I don't know, most of the time my changes in my life are like just new ways that I can approach artistic merit, like maybe movies that I didn't like before, I can see good things behind them, or vice versa. I can point out flaws and things that people think are good because I'm like, oh, well, they didn't do. What if they did this? Or hey, they could have done that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
Like,
I can't really think of anything that changed my perspectives on anything, but I can think of movies that, I guess, sometimes influenced the way I thought. Like a cool action movie with the Xander Cage from XXX. I used to look up to him.
No, that's sad.
Well, that's not sad. Xander Cage was a goddamn badass.
It's a movie, Charlie.
Are there any documentaries you guys have seen that it really changed your view on something or really educated on something? Because I watch a lot of those.
Probably.
Documentaries are very dangerous because many of them can be very misleading or agenda-laden.
That's true. The one that I took a lot out of is there's one called the Barkley Marathon. And it's about a 100-mile foot race in the hills of Virginia or Tennessee, I think. And it was one of the most motivating movies I've ever watched to just be able to try for what you want to do.
I wish that motivating feeling lasted more than a day.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, that was that question.
No, my one, going back onto that, my movie that changed my life was the Lego Movie. It started my crippling addiction into Lego.
Did it really? Man. I thought it was the Lego games.
I think one of them led to the other and then to actually buying Lego.
That's a blur.
That's why I don't get pussy anymore.
He says with a girlfriend.
I mean, not to offend everyone out there that does enjoy modeling with Legos and creating.
They know
Legos.
What I'm talking about. They don't get pussy either.
Yeah, I know.
Jackson, sorry, Charlie, go ahead.
I mean, I was just going to ask, how many have you made now?
Like 7. It is so weirdly fun. I don't get it. I don't get it.
That's another thing you and I should do. We were discussing Charlie's possible new living pad and how he'd have a lot of space. I was thinking more about that. We should have a room with nothing but an incredibly elaborate Lego set in it.
Oh, but you don't take that from me. I want to build that.
You can do it with us.
Yeah, you can be our designer.
Yeah, you
Chief
can
designer.
Well, yeah.
God,
you can
that would be a
it.
Fucking awesome job working at Lego.
Oh.
Oh. That's I'm right, but you can design the actual bricks and use the machines to mold them.
No, but someone else has, like, designed those sets and shit, surely.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't think they just throw them together.
They find them in a deep mine evolve. In the earth.
Yeah.
They drill down beyond the second layer of the Earth's crust, and all of a sudden, this overwhelming voice says, Ninjago, and the next set comes out, just pre-made.
They're just all artifacts in reality from an ancient civilization.
No one actually knows if Lego was created or discovered.
Oh, I made that joke in the Hangout.
Oh, you did? Fuck,
like
I
Prometheus.
Forgot.
You did?
Yeah.
That's a good joke.
Oh, shit.
I'll give you credit for that. That's a good joke. I didn't remember you said it.
Yeah. Take that out, though.
Oh, why? Because Hangouts are exclusive.
No, kidding.
Take it out and then add it back in with Jackson, you dubbing it over as if you said it.
Take it out, but add in you saying, wow, that's a brilliant joke. I'm going to use that in the Hangouts.
And pretend we recorded this 3 weeks ago.
let me find a little naughty question. I think we've answered that.
The serious section seems to have some really varied questions. The rest are either
jokes
we've done.
I've got a good one for Kaya. Wendy Kiz says, Kaya, what were your first interactions / impressions of Jackson and Andrew like?
Ooh.
I couldn't tell them apart. They're nice. Jackson was late.
Was I late?
You were, very.
I don't remember.
Sound like me.
Yeah,
it was tardy to the party.
I don't know. First impressions are usually at least 99% looks, and I couldn't even see the guy, so my entire impression was just, oh, he's late.
What's your impression on our looks now that you've seen us?
Good. I mean, kind of a late burner. It's really not the same as seeing someone the first time, but... I mean, I don't know. There's just not really anything powerful. I'm trying to stall.
Kaya,
make it seem like it's a good question. It just
I got a good one. I got a good addendum to
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
What was the moment or a moment where you knew that you liked each of us? Something we said or did.
When did you fall in love?
Exactly. In a way.
Can you point me in the script where this line is? I don't see that in the questions.
No, I'm addending it. I'm adding to it so you can give a more concrete answer.
Oh,
are you drunk again?
Stage whispering.
I'm improvising.
I don't know. Again, I mean, there wasn't really any moment where I hated any of you. Yeah, I didn't
really
need convincing.
Woo! Bullet dodge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is a glowing review from Kaya. I know on the surface it may not seem like much, but literally all of my friends that have ever, like, played games with Kaya and I, Kaya has a nice complaint.
Yeah, for
you
a
hear
good reason. Okay, well, there you go. There you have a story then. Okay,
they use DuckDuckGo.
Literally everyone Charlie ever introduced me to was a complete fucking idiot.
It's not my fault.
I mean, we're playing League of Legends with Charlie. He says, "Oh, I have a good friend. He's a good guy. Yeah, he's funny and stuff. I'm gonna invite him to the call." And I go, "Okay." And you play 2 minutes, and the guy rage quits because we made jokes and laughed.
I mean, in his defense, it was League of Legends, for Christ's sake. You don't joke in there.
Are you still
even
friends with
Charlie? Even Charlie's gotten salty at League. It's a real page turner.
League of Legends
it's a Charlie. Yeah, it's a friendship killer. It's an awful fucking game.
For a while, when Kai and I used to play it, we'd be at each other's throats.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But at the very least, we were still good. Like, it wasn't any legitimate anger. Charlie never rage quit on me, just going silence. This guy just left. And then Charlie had to ask him if anything was wrong, and the guy was acting like a little girlfriend, basically. Or, no, well, nah. I kind of wasn't that happy.
Was he jealous?
I don't
know. We weren't doing super well, and he was upset about it.
There was another time like this that I don't really remember, and then there was a third time where Charlie went, "Oh, let me invite this kid who has really great ideas to the Skype call," and then he adds Leafy.
Oh yeah,
it comes
full
circle.
We told that whole.
Yeah,
that was like episode 2.
It was
way long ago.
Very
35 episodes.
Roback.
Ooh, I've got an idea that I'm going to run by you guys for the 50th episode once this call ends.
Go for it.
Hot peppers.
Huh?
Hot peppers.
The silence episode?
Yeah. That'd be a dream come true.
That'd be the easiest one to edit.
Yeah,
just a clap sync and then silence.
I would love...
In the middle an ad read.
I would love for us to actually do that, and then it's late, and we go, "Jackson, what's wrong?" And he goes, "I'm still editing."
We should do that, but we should put the waveform in too, so people can see. Oh, there's some talk in the middle right there, and then they scrub forward, and it's just an ad.
No, Kaya, we legitimately record an hour of silence, but we don't mute our mics, so they can hear every little accidental cough and just subtle movement.
And then a couple advertisements for Blue Apron.
<That's it. laughs> Oh, and then after the ads go, and we go, "So anyway," and then just back to silence.
I do want to do something special for the 50th episode, though. I think
you can.
Cool.
I mean, yeah, we should.
Pitch your idea.
We can do that.
Don't spoil it.
Meanwhile, Joe fucking Rogan is at the 1,000.
He does them every single day, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
He's got a whole team set
up. 1 million at least per episode.
Painkiller already, mate, is at like 400 and something, but all of their episodes are over 4.5 hours, so who's really putting in
that long? Who edits that? Do they just not edit it? Do they just upload it directly as it is?
I couldn't make it through 4.5 hours of that, to tell you, Jackson.
Oh no, they are all edited, the professional ones, mostly because they can just hire people to do it. Jesus. Like Joe, I watched the one with Joe Rogan and it was 2.5 hours. And at the end of the 2.5 hours, he turns to his guest and says, "All right, man, that was 3 hours." Meaning they had to edit out a half hour at least out of that whole thing.
It's probably like what Let's Players do, where it's very minimal and just cleaning, like silences and pauses and stuff.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know Mr. Rogan, but I don't think he's that low of a human vermin.
It seems like
I think he puts in a little more effort than your average Minecraft player.
Well, maybe he's just naturally talented.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, if you're naturally talented, you don't do Let's Plays.
I love how Joe Rogan went from everyone just thinking, "Oh, it's the guy who hosts Fear Factor," to this actually really strong personality now. Yeah.
Right.
No, he's from... Most people know him from UFC.
I thought he was an MMA commentator.
Wasn't he on Fear Factor long before that?
I don't know. What the fuck?
Yeah, no, that's what
I'm... Fear Factor. There was bugs.
Let me see here.
Spooky. That's another show where a lot of people drink their own piss.
Yeah, all we're trying to say is, Joe, we'd love to be on your show.
No, we wouldn't.
Wow, yeah, actually, I'm totally wrong. He started doing UFC commentary in 97 and started Fear Factor in 2001. I'm wrong.
Yeah, I love you, Joe.
Wow.
Come on the show.
I thought it was the other way around. I thought he was a host for stuff and like a small personality, and then he bloomed into this big UFC dude.
Well, here's something no one knew about him. He used to be a comedian.
Well, that, no, that...
Nope.
Yeah, he does that. He does, like,
comedy
stuff.
Famous for that. Yeah.
Really? I had no idea.
Absolutely.
The point is, Joe Rogan is the multi-tool man and is doing everything now, apparently.
So you can go to joerogan.com/official and get
and
one free meeting.
For him, and ask him to come on the show.
Yeah, please. I'd have him on. Nice guy.
Come on. Please.
Please?
Joe, please.
What the fuck were we even talking about?
This ad slot will be filled with just begging for Joe to come on.
Please. Please, Joe, you're our only hope. That was a Star Wars reference, Charlie.
I don't know. What was the question? The original
We answered it already.
I guess. All right, next.
So a question I picked out is, Kai or Andrew, what animes have you guys watched, and who is your waifus?
Oh, God.
You
want me to just start and you can interject, because I'll go down the laundry list,
yes,
I guess.
No, not all of your... Jesus, just... Okay, I'll change the question. That was it.
Andrew wants to list his harem.
That was a ticking time bomb. I'll limit you to one waifu and three of your favorite animes.
I don't even have a waifu, really.
Judy Hopps is your waifu.
Yeah, but that's not... If we're only talking anime, that doesn't count.
Judy Hopps? What? Oh.
Yeah. I don't really have a... I don't think I have, in a traditional sense, a waifu. I never really got into that concept.
You weren't all about marriage to the waifu.
Yeah, I don't fucking get it. It's just, I don't know. I like characters. I like male and female characters, differing degrees. I've never had a female or male character where I'm like, man,
I
love
them. You get one lifelike, realistic sex doll, but it's going to be based on an anime character. Who do you choose?
Oh, fuck.
This is a top quality Brooklyn and style.
I don't even know.
Sex doll too.
I don't even know. I don't remember anime character names. They're all Japanese. All right. Well, since I can't really even. All right. So since no one comes to mind, I don't really have an answer. But if we're doing just my top three favorite animes that I recommend for everyone, it would probably be Cromartie High School, Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann,
Jesus Christ.
Oh man, Gurren Lagann's so goddamn good. And Dragon Ball Z or Kai, probably Kai because it cuts out all the bullshit. I mean it's Dragon Ball Z.
Whole show is bullshit.
It is, but it's awesome.
Dragon Ball Kai could be 5 minutes.
But yeah, Cromartie High School and Gurren Lagann have always been my top, so I recommend those.
That's fair. What about you, Kai? Waifu, three animes.
I know this sounds unrealistic, but I do not really have a waifu.
I haven't watched nearly that much anime, but out of all of us, I think I've watched the most, so I just get all this stuff lumped on me.
I think she's more into Markiplier, though.
I'm sorry.
Damn it. Let's do a different question.
I was enjoying that question.
It's a good question. I just don't have that much. If someone held me at gunpoint, though, and said, what's the best anime you've ever seen, it'd be Cromarty.
Yeah, that's a likely scenario.
Yeah, man.
Sometimes I love the stuff Andrew says, like, Andrew, was this in the Hangouts or something? You said that the Magic the Gathering tournament was testosterone-driven.
No. Oh, yeah. That was... I had just come back from a big Magic tournament. And both you were like, oh man, were the men there? Was it only men? Did you even see... I think Charlie's exact phrase was, did you even see a single woman?
No, I just asked if there was a lot of female players.
I don't believe that's what we said. I can guarantee you right now, none of us used the word man.
I got you on that one. But anyway, my rebuttal was, while it was very testosterone-driven, there are a good number of female players.
You make that sound cool, though, which is just a choice of words is off.
Because I don't know, I don't go for easy jokes. It's such an easy, hilarious thing to say, oh, Magic is run by men, there's no women there, not a single vagina in 100-foot radius. Like, oh boy, they haven't been making that joke since the game came out, so I just...
It's a classic.
It is, and it's so old. It's just so not funny to me anymore, and not even like an offensive way, because it's not offensive. It's just boring. It's like, wow, you made that joke. Sky's blue. Yeah. So I don't know.
It's
I try
so
to.
Bad, though.
I try to.
The joke has been told so many times.
I mean,
it's transcended a joke.
I mean,
it's
there's plenty of jokes about fast food making you fat, but the food's still tasty.
No.
I mean, it's you're asking me to defend something where I can't win in a way, so I try to make it.
Well, we're not trying to. No one's asking you to defend its honor or anything.
There's an implication with that question that you're trying to get me.
Are you drunk again? They're not trying to nail you with some smoking gun, like, you played Magic the Gathering, huh? Little Cub Scout.
Cub Scout. That's a good choice.
It's just funny.
No, it is. I know. I don't know.
Were any of you scouts? Well, the two Americans.
No. Never interested me.
Yeah, me neither.
Well, Charlie, you hate the outdoors because bugs send you in a fucking panic attack.
They never used to, but yeah, now they do.
Oh, can I tell that
Why
story?
Why the fuck did bugs
go what? For it?
So, we were at the world-famous...
I'm sorry, meanwhile, Jackson's being dragged away from his mic.
Yeah,
Babadook.
I was wondering what that was about.
It's the money van they're here to collect.
That's one of my favorite podcast moments.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good. So, Charlie and I were eating at the world-famous 5-star... Tampa Brick House restaurant, which is like a sports bar, brewery, whatever, very standard fare, but good food. And there were some flies that got into the restaurant, and one
massive
of
massive flies.
Not one of them was flies. Big. The rest were normal fly size. And
so the host flies.
This man would go into literal convulsions whenever one got near him. It wasn't like he was just swatting away a fly, like get off. He would be like, oh Jesus, oh duck and cover. Like you almost jumped underneath the fucking table when one got near you. And his first line of defense was to grab our... So first he tried hitting them away with some of the menus and drink options, and that's like fine. The way that
then
he slayed...
The white stuff.
No, the way that he slayed his enemy is he picked up the full pepper shaker and lobbed it overhead so it crushed its skull.
May I add that it was a fantastic shot and I did kill
no,
it.
No, it was.
You threw it
somehow,
at the fly.
Yeah, he threw it at the window to crush the fly and somehow actually made a very minimal amount of noise doing it. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, what the hell?
But,
Charlie, caveman are you?
Charlie, defend yourself. Man. Bugs freak him out so much that if there's one even near him, he starts, like, screaming. And I'm not exaggerating.
Now he's exaggerating. I didn't scream, but yeah, I do freak out. Like,
you're a big old pussy.
But you make noises. You know, it's not like you quietly fidget. You're like, like, you do that.
Yeah, that's a natural reaction.
No, it isn't.
I could understand if it was something like a cockroach or a centipede, but
exactly.
A fly?
What does your girlfriend do when that happens?
Oh, she fights those battles for me. Yeah, I don't touch them.
She gets dry.
I mean, I hate bugs as well. I can't fucking stand them. Like, roaches, I kill them extra hard. But, I don't know, flies, just smack them away. I don't go, oh, Jesus!
Kill them extra hard.
Yeah. Well, cockroaches, I wish the world was fumigated of them. They serve no fucking purpose. I hate them.
Couldn't agree.
They're so good at surviving. Oh, God.
Like, I get a lot of bugs. Some of them are cool to watch, like ants. Others are fine to have around, like butterflies. They're pretty. Moths are, can be neat. But, like, roaches, you know, they can just go.
Butterflies are just worms. They're not really pretty, are they?
The wings are.
Yeah, rip them off, and then what are they? They're just worms.
Jackson, if I ripped wings. Your arms off, are you still not a human?
You'd be a worm.
My arms aren't pretty, though.
Are you still not a human if I ripped your arms off?
Huh?
Do you suddenly become a tree if I rip your limbs off?
What are you talking about? All I'm saying is the butterfly is ugly.
What? It's less of a man than me. Wings.
It's beneath you.
So Jackson, what if you were a painter and you painted a nice mosaic that took you hours and people went to your gallery and went, oh, that's a great painting, but the guy who painted it is ugly.
They would have every right to rip them off and then belittle me as a human being. I'd be all right with that. They could rip the paintings off, tear them down. That's basically what butterflies are.
You rip
paintings.
Yeah, paintings that you rip off the walls.
Yeah.
Your argument's weird. I don't like it.
Technically still be art by today's standards, so there's that.
Well, no, I'm talking like wonderful picture paintings. Like, I don't know, he does like an incredible portrait of Margaret Thatcher.
Relevant. I could rip it off, wipe my ass with it, and still sell it for $4 million.
Yeah, that's true.
All my point was that butterflies aren't very attractive.
What, do you want to fuck a butterfly? Good lord.
That's the worst.
Not my weave.
What are you thinking of?
I don't know, I just don't like butterflies.
This isn't an argument, this is just your power fantasy.
Just wants to rip the wings off stuff.
Jackson secretly just wants to rip things in half.
No, I just think they should be segregated.
What?
By what? Their wings and their bodies? What is wrong with you?
I just don't...
Like little colored water fountains for butterflies?
Only colored for the wings to match.
I don't get why people think that butterflies are, like, visually appealing insects.
Because they're flying, flattering bundles of color.
When they land on you, you're drawn to this like, stick with beady
the
eyes.
Oh no, a butterfly, a dainty little half-grand butterfly
I'm
lands
them. I'm
on
just
you.
I'm saying they're not fucking hot.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
What the fuck?
I'll be on that side with Jackson. I don't find butterflies hot either.
Yeah, I don't want to really fuck a butterfly.
Yeah,
not always
I guess.
About fucking things, Andrew. You can find something hot and not want to fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, I may want to fuck rabbits, but butterflies, that's way too much.
I don't like butterflies.
Do you just not like I want to harp on this. Do you just not like bugs, or is it specifically butterflies?
No.
Did one kill your parents? Like, what?
All right, I don't like... I'll go through the list of things that I don't like, Andrew. I don't like centipedes. I don't like cockroaches. I'm not a big fan of butterflies. I like butterflies more than centipedes and cockroaches, but they're still on the list of things that I don't necessarily like.
What a weird list.
Wasps, I can do without, because they're evil. They're vindictive.
Yeah, wasps suck dick, too. You're right.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Because they're...
Wasps?
They serve
actually,
purpose apart from just attacking you.
Yeah, wasps are actually considered the most useless insect in the entire world. If you eliminated every single wasp, the world would actually be better, like, in terms of the environment.
Oh, yeah.
That's
worst.
A genuine fact, yeah. Wasps absolutely serve zero purpose in the world. No species eat them. They don't pollinate anything. All they do is feed on bees, are really helpful.
I hate wasps.
Wasps and mosquitoes are two things the world...
Yeah, mosquitoes
legit.
Mosquitoes is the other one for sure.
Yeah. I agree
yeah.
with mosquitoes, but wasps, they don't do anything.
Yes, they do. They're incredibly aggressive.
Yeah, and they kill actual helpful insects like bees.
And I think they kill people. I think a couple people die every year from... getting
that's
fucked
true.
By yeah, wasps.
Well, that's
yeah.
like saying bees kill people, too, from allergies.
Not nearly as many as wasps, though.
And sharks kill people, too.
Still irrelevant. I mean, I could still say the same thing about peanut butter.
So, I want you... Alright, Kai, I want you to imagine that there's, like, a group of men that live in the desert. And every year, they just come to the city and kill somebody and then leave. Do you think they're good? Do you think they're a benefit to society?
You make that sound like these wasps are a squad of, like, purgers or Mad
they
Max.
They are!
Mutants.
That's all they
they're
do.
Little, they're little bugs that just fly and whiz by if you don't even look at them.
Not true. They are aggressive. They attack you even if you're just
have
near them.
Have you been
them.
Bullied by wasps?
Yes!
My childhood in Turkey, there's
needlessly
all sort of flying creatures here, and I've never had problems.
Jets.
Are they more afraid of your
Turkey
government?
Turkey signed an alliance with the wasps.
We made the same joke. I like it.
Do we?
It's a good joke. I mean, the point is, fuck wasps.
My point was, wasps are generally considered the most harmful and useless insects in the entire world.
Where did butterflies stack on that list?
Butterflies help. Oh, with a few things. Some
like
species
what?
Eat them, but nothing eats wasps, and all wasps do is kill helpful insects. They serve
I've seen a cat eat a wasp before.
That's a dumbass cat, and a cat's dead.
That's also a different idea. It could eat something else.
Yeah.
It's all about dependency.
That doesn't fun.
Shit. So,
did you guys... That brings me to something interesting. Do you guys know a lot about CRISPR or anything like that?
I don't know what that is.
The drawer in my fridge?
I know what it is. I don't really know how it works. If you want me to do it, I probably couldn't. If that's
is it a brand?
Are
you
we
mean,
sponsored
it's not,
by CRISPR?
It's not like an action or something. Christ, it's not like a brand of cereal or anything. No, it's
a restaurant?
Jesus, I'm surprised you guys haven't heard of this. It's one of the most exciting scientific things going on right now. In a nutshell, CRISPR could pretty much rewrite DNA and it'd be just a shot you would get.
C-R-I-S-P-R, right.
Yeah.
No, I know what it is. I'm saying I could not do it if you gave me a lab. It just I don't
know much about Cas9. Okay, I've heard of it as Cas9. I haven't heard of CRISPR, but I've heard of Cas9.
Well, where I was going with that is they've been programming insects that I can't remember if they made them gay or just make it so they attack each other.
First thing we do with the insect DNA is make them gay.
But the idea is they'd eventually stop reproducing and the mosquitoes would go extinct.
Perfect.
Well, that would be a sad
I thought that was
life.
Exciting.
I just love... Sir, what's our first defense for mosquitoes? We're gonna make them fucking gay!
Alright, Alex.
That's actually what I thought of instantly.
Yeah, I mean, by proxy, Alex Jones is kind of right. The government is making... could make frogs gay.
That's well, I mean, that's the thing with him, and we don't have to dive into this whole thing. He says stupid shit,
genius.
But when you get his ideas behind it, you can get what he's saying. It's not like he's
you can't. Okay, Andrew, break this one down for me, then.
Go for it.
The world is in 10 layers. The bottom layer has the demons and the psychic vampires. We're on the 4th layer, where scientists are trying to break into the 6th and 7th layer, where they're homing in on the pedophile mind ray.
Different layers of fucked upness in the human psyche and learning to understand them.
Where do the pedophiles fit in, and how do they control the mind ray?
If they're going, if he's looking at it,
pedophiles are really good at fitting in.
If he's looking at it in terms of mental defects or what we would consider bad qualities, they'd be lower on it. That's why they're trying to break into it to understand why they're pedophiles.
No, they're trying to control everyone to make them pedophiles. I believe was his argument.
Seems to be working.
Yeah, but the psychic vampires are definitely
okay. Maybe,
fight.
More specifically, I just mean then the water's making the frogs gay comment.
Okay, so one thing you understand that one.
Okay, well I overspoke. You're right. You win. You made me gay via water.
Yeah, I'm interested to see the CRISPR thing too, and then have it be outlawed.
Well,
God, CRISPR's the most exciting thing I've ever seen.
The problem is that a lot of those things just fail due to a myriad of reasons. There's always like a cure for cancer every week, and then it goes away.
This is something totally different, because this isn't something they've invented. Bacteria is where they get CRISPR from, because bacteria can rewrite itself.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they took that out, that mechanism it uses, which is the CRISPR, and they're figuring out how to make it do what the bacteria one does, because it comes right from it. So it's not like something they've kind of just cooked up like a lot of the old half-assed, you know, cure-alls and shit. It's actually something that in nature at the moment currently works.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just a matter of making it work on our end. That's why it's really exciting to me.
I like science.
I mean,
I like butterflies.
Can we back up for a second, actually, now that I'm in this limbo here? How did you have that Alex Jones quote on deck so quickly?
Oh, that's one of my favorite clips. I didn't get it verbatim, of course. But
I thought you did.
The gist of it was the universe is divided into 10 corporeal layers, and the one we exist in is just above the demons and the psychic vampires, and the pedophiles are a little above us and trying to break in a little bit higher with their mind rays.
Gotcha. Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. When you lay it out like that.
Mm-hmm. I get angry when people fall for obvious fucking trolls like that.
Alex Jones?
Well, we had this whole debate.
Yeah, we did, but just, as you guys know, I love nothing more than reveling in vindication. Whoever the handful of idiots were who got angry at us for misgendering Copper Cap, go fuck yourself, you idiots, because he's a man again.
And did he go he went back to being a man?
No, he always was a fucking man. That's the problem. He just put on an act for 2 weeks, and now his new act is... I don't know, he's fat and he has a beard and he eats a hot peppers or something, I don't know.
He does the pepper parade now.
Point is, he's a fucking actor, he's a troll, and you people got on our asses because I called this 300-pound fat ass he. Blow me.
Well then, how do you dispute the xenogenders?
Can we wrap up with...
We should do...
Cut in here, hang on, I just have a question about the whole David and the Alien Covenant thing. Because the first Alien variation they showed was the vastly more badass and threatening one. The one that looked like an oversized toddler. The one that was really spazzing around super fast.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't they do anything with that one? Because that one was super powerful. He fucked up a whole
Hollywood.
Squad.
Hollywood.
I mean, yeah, Hollywood, but they could have just used it. It's their property.
Well, no,
instead
of
the classic Xenomorph.
It was probably a case of too many hands in the pot. Some either writer or director or studio or executive or something caused it to go the way
it
did.
I just feel like they have these variations that people would be eager to see because it's something new. Like the blue one that they introduced at the end of Prometheus, remember?
Yeah, but...
It was blue. It looked kind of like a shark, but then we never saw it again. And then you introduced this bulbous head oversized baby one that just eviscerates this whole squad, and then suddenly they're gone and we get the same old boring xenomorphs again.
Alright, yeah, but for real, Jackson, you're going to want to take out the whole thing.
Kai's editing this week, aren't you, Kai? Oh, right, we haven't wrapped up yet. Thank you for watching this week's episode of the official
it's
podcast.
It's going to be a little abrupt.
Yeah.
We've got... Well, we weren't talking for 20 minutes then about other stuff. You didn't miss anything. We don't cut anything in this show. We'll see you
it's
next
one
week.
One smooth take. One we'll camera. One take.
There was nothing offensive.
No. Cutting that too. We'll see you next week. There's links in the description. You can digest this podcast, listen to it at other places like SoundCloud, fucking iTunes, all those places.
Patreon.
Spotify. Yeah, we go to Patreon. You can get bonus content. 2 hours of content. 2 hours of content. 2 hours of content each month for $1. It's pretty good.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Ciao.
So, in the larger of the two saunas, people would sing songs and just dick around.
Can we tell the same jokes real quick? Can you set us up for the same jokes? Great.
Okay, so... And then, like, I was like, oh, man, it's going to be so great. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to have everyone sing John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt. I'm going to be so fucking funny and cool. And then as soon as I opened the door, I just heard, like, 30 people going, row, row, row your boat. And I had about 80 people naked in a 145-degree room singing row, row, row your boat in a terrible round because they kept fucking it up. And it was great. It was one of the best experiences.
Andrew, so anyway, did you see any boners? Yeah.